We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
You know, so often on this journey of inclusion and diversity, I don't think people don't not want to do it. I think in many cases, people are afraid. They're afraid of when you get in situations where people are different than you, it's incredibly uncomfortable. And sometimes you worry about the words you use and may you make a mistake in some of the interactions. But if we all come to the table with this sense of vulnerability, courage, empathy, grace, we show up that way. It allows us to make some mistakes. It allows us to get uncomfortable. It allows us to connect in a way that it really makes us all brighter than we were before we started the journey. That's what I love about this work.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. As we head towards NRF's newest event, NRF Retail Converge, in June, we're highlighting a few speakers you'll hear from during that program. Mark Irvin, Best Buy's Chief Inclusion, Diversity, and Talent Officer, joined the Retail Gets Real podcast earlier this year. Ahead of his appearance at NRF Retail Converge, we wanted to share that conversation with you again. We'll have plenty of thoughtful conversations just like this one and more than 160 sessions to choose from at the event. So don't forget to register at nrf.com/converge to hear more from Mark and many more retail leaders. And for today's episode, I'm also very happy to welcome a new co-host, my colleague and my friend, Adam Lukowski. He's with the NRF Foundation, and Adam, welcome.
Thank you, Bill.
How are you?
Good. How are you? It's good to be here.
I'm doing well. So, Mark, you're at Best Buy, but I think you have probably a story to tell about your career path, how you started and how you got where you are today. So, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you called that one out. It's been a very interesting journey, and I can tell you, I had nothing in my playbook that said, you know, at some point in your career life, you'll become the Chief Diversity and Inclusion and Talent Officer for Best Buy. That was definitely not in the playbook. You know, I went to school in the Deep South. I went to school in Nashville, Tennessee, at a school called Fisk University.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as a part of my journey at Fisk, you know, I also was in the ROTC program at Vanderbilt University. And so I joined the military right out of college. My first job, you know, out of college was recruiting other students to join the ROTC program.
Wow.
And so I was in the Army for about 8 years doing that. And I ultimately got into, you know, what we would call medical supply chain. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie MASH. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
So I was a company commander at what was called a combat support hospital. And so I did that job and did a number of other jobs in the United States military. Ultimately left the military to go into, you know, supply chain. And I've been in supply chain probably for the last 30 years.
It's changed a lot in 30 years. I mean, you've been in the front. I mean, in terms of what it was when you started and what it is today, I mean, my gosh, it's night and day.
Well, you know, now it's incredible in that it went from, I remember we would put, you know, items on shelves and it was all manual, and now it's completely automated. I mean,
they're done.
Yeah. And it's completely transformed everything. And I would also say, you know, it's been very interesting on the journey because, you know, the military and supply chain is really all about people.
Yeah.
It's all about understanding people, getting in there with your teams and removing obstacles. And so it's always, when I look back and I go, well, how did I end up here? I ended up here and it feels right because this role is also all about people. It's all about creating an experience where people can be their absolute best.
You know, diversity and inclusion, it means so much. And it's a very, if you ask 10 people, what does diversity and inclusion mean? They'll all hit close, but it doesn't mean they're all going to hit the same. How do you define that? I mean, the way that you view it, maybe through the prism of the brand, how do you view diversity and inclusion?
I love that question, Bill. You know, so often, you know, in the definition of inclusion and diversity, people sometimes say, well, then maybe I don't see myself in that story. You know, we try to define it in a way that it is about everyone. You think about the word inclusion. Inclusion is really about belonging. It's about feeling safe. It's about being able to activate your own personal superpower. And we all know those environments. Like even in this show, as we kind of did a bit of the conversation to get started, it was making me feel so incredibly comfortable. And so in doing that, guess what happens? What happens is the person can show up and be their best selves, no script necessary, all those things that make us be, you know, the best that we can in what we're trying to do. Diversity is about the uniqueness of all of us. You know, so often in many of the affairs of life, you think about it, we're often thinking about, like, what phraseology did that person use? How do I fit in? And we're sometimes on this journey of life where sometimes we lose a sense of self. But diversity is about trying to make sure that people not only, one, feel a sense of belonging, but they also feel the uniqueness they brought to this journey is so incredibly important, and it will actually make us better. So don't abdicate authenticity to fit in. Be authentic and make a difference. That's how Best Buy is trying to show up in a way that says, come join our team, be a part of what we're trying to do, but don't abdicate your authenticity to do it.
I love that, by the way. I mean, don't abdicate your authenticity, because somebody might, well, I want to fit in. So in order to fit in, I'm going to do what I think others expect me to do, as opposed to what I am authentic about. And that is so important that you draw that out of people. And if you do, what you have is true diversity. I mean, that's where diversity comes in.
I think so. You know, we actually began to teach our leaders something called the inclusive leadership behaviors. And it's really the first time I've ever heard the word grace used in the workplace.
I love that.
The basis of the inclusive leadership behaviors is empathy, courage, vulnerability, and grace. And think about that, how that positions a leader to connect with people. You know, so often on this journey of inclusion and diversity, I don't think people don't not want to do it. I think in many cases, people are afraid. They're afraid of when you get in situations where people are different than you, it's incredibly uncomfortable. And sometimes you worry about the words you use and may you make a mistake in some of the interactions. But if we all come to the table with this sense of vulnerability, courage, empathy, grace, we show up that way. It allows us to make some mistakes. It allows us to get uncomfortable. It allows us to connect in a way that it really makes us all brighter than we were before we started the journey. That's what I love about this work.
You talked about bringing your authentic self to work, and that really means being vulnerable at work. So what have you done at Best Buy to really create that environment for employees to be vulnerable and bring their authentic self? Because I think it's easy to say to do, but it's really challenging to actually do. So I'm curious how you're building that environment.
Yeah, you're right. It's actually quite, it's not as simple as it sounds, but I think the commitment to it is where the journey starts. You know, the first thing I think, again, remember I gave you a bit of my background about being a leader in the military and supply chain. You know, leaders really set an environment. And we use the word sometimes psychological safety. Think about psychological safety. Some of the best performing teams in the world have that. And if I called them out by name, you would go, wait a minute, I can't believe units like that, teams like that have at the basis psychological safety, which means that I'm going to tell you areas where you can improve and become better at being you, but I'm going to do it in a way that is so nurturing, so caring, and so thoughtful that you don't feel like I'm being attacked. Now, that requires training. That requires development. So we put at the top of our list, one, is this lean into leaders to develop them in how do you lead in an inclusive way. And I think that's number one. The second thing we've been doing is modeling it. We've been having something that I love it. It's actually really, really cool. It's called, you know, we have these candid conversations. And it's where people from my team bring people together in an environment of difference and uncomfortability. And we talk about things that at times you go, ooh, how can you talk about that? How can you talk about race? How can you talk about difference? And what I've heard so often from leaders across the country is that, you know, that helped me because I watched people make mistakes and I watched people say, it's okay. They extended the hand of grace. And it just, when you see that happen, guess what it does for all of us? It makes all of us feel more empowered to try. And really bringing people together is really about trying. I think so often we stay apart because we're afraid. We're afraid to make the mistake. We're afraid if we try, we're going to let someone down. But when you drop all of that, I think you stand to build an incredible culture together. And it's the only way it can work is together.
You know, I know that this is not new for Best Buy, but you know, there have been a lot of things that have happened in the last year that have really brought this to the fore, in the forefront of the minds of the people that run businesses, have a diverse workforce, and how to really, you know, create opportunity out of a challenge. And so what do you think, given what you had been doing, this was not new, you didn't just institute a program, you had these things that happen societally, how did that change what you were doing at Best Buy? If at all.
Yeah, I think it absolutely did. I think, you know, if you think about all of us, many of us at this time, because of the pandemic and everything else was occurring, you know, many of us were in an environment of a bit of a standstill. You know, it was one of those moments in history where we're all going to never forget what we were doing. And then we saw George Floyd murdered. And we saw it on our computer screens. We saw it on our television screens. And it impacted so many of us in such a deep way. I think first and foremost, for many of the leaders, I think not just at Best Buy, but across the world, it was the first time where you could really get a sense of the experience of Black and brown people, where you really understood, now I get a glimpse of the terror and the fear and the sense of, do I fit? Do I belong? Am I valued? And can I have equal access? Can I have fair access? And I think that pushed us all to say, we have to do better. What we were doing before isn't good enough. And so I know Best Buy did it. We leaned in incredibly differently. I remember, you know, we had a call the day after George Floyd was murdered. And we were talking about, like, how do we do better? How do we show up stronger? This is unacceptable. This is horrible. And in doing that, we set up a task force for racial equality. We pulled about 20 leaders from across the country together. And our CEO really empowered them to say, look within the company, look outside the company, find areas where we can make a difference. And so that task force has been on that journey now for many months, and they're about ready at the stage of being able to propose a number of things to our CEO. We also said, let's make some bold commitments. What I love to say about this is that we also said we were not just going to copy others, but we would learn from everyone. But then how do we use the uniqueness of Best Buy to do what we could only do as best we can? And so that was the essence of our bold commitments. So I think to your question, it made all of us, you saw across corporate America, step it up, began to use our voices in a way that I don't think we've used before. So often, I think across corporate America, we've stayed quiet on some of these issues. And I can tell you without a fact, in talking with many of my peers across the country, most are saying silent no more, silent no more.
I always feel like that. In the past, what has happened is there are things that have happened and people are like, we need to address this. This is a problem and it needs to be tackled. And then we talk a lot about it and we make commitments as a result of it. And then nothing really. I mean, you know, it's just back to, whew, we did something and we feel good about the fact that we did something. I think this is very different. I think this is very much where the talk is talk and the action is accountability. People are going to be held accountable for the commitments that they have made, the things that they have said. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. And it's about doggone time. So I applaud Best Buy. The commitments that you've made, the bold commitments, actually called the bold commitments, and tell us a little about those bold commitments, the announcement that y'all made.
Yeah, I do want to do that. I also want to jump on the back of what you said about, like, I do think, I agree with you 100%, this time is different. There is no going back. You know, I was reading a book and it's called The Adaptation Advantage. And that book gets into the four stages of the Industrial Revolution. And you think about like what happened as a result of each one of those stages. And each one of those stages set in motion an event that we have never gone back on. Whether it was steam power, whether it was mass production, or whether it was the digital revolution, there's no going back. You know, this fourth stage is really all about social change and the dramatic advancements in digital technology. Mm-hmm. So to your point, there's no going back on this movement. And also, I think there's something in here generationally. And so the essence of our bold commitments is just to one, recognize. And again, I've got my favorite quote. I think I mentioned it earlier in the book, Good to Great. Leadership is really about raising the tide of experience for everyone, but then being willing and committed to looking under the surface to say, what experience does everyone not enjoy? What are those experiences? And inside of our big, bold commitments is that recognition of the events and experiences that everyone does not enjoy. And so our first bold commitment that's in there is that we said at our corporate campus, 1 in 3 of our future hiring goals is to be BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and people of color. And again, we said in our leadership ranks, because we think it's important to recognize that representation is not always equal. If you look under the covers in many of these corporations, what you'll see is that the frontline workers are very diversified. You don't always see diversification all the way through the organization. And so that was a part of our key commitment. The second key commitment that's inside of that as well, too, is in our field structure, leadership roles in our field organization, whether it's our stores or distribution centers, that 1 in 3 of all of our future hires will be females. It will be women to lead in this environment of our stores and our distribution centers. We've also said, and this is one of the things that I've been, you know, kind of in some ways saying from the mountaintops, our board is incredibly diversified. 40% of Best Buy's board is BIPOC. That's incredible across any business lens. And we said we're going to use that exact same lens across our entire senior leadership team. So our goal is to reflect the composition of our board. 50% women, 40% BIPOC. And again, these are amongst the most senior leadership roles at Best Buy. Now, if you think about the experience of an employee, like what is the experience of an employee and how do you measure it? Well, I think you measure it first and foremost in retention rates. If you look again closely, you start to see, well, wait a minute, there's a retention gap for anyone within the community. Now you start to go in and say, well, then why is there a retention gap? And so one of our bold commitments is this retention parity. And when we look closely at what happens in retention, people normally leave because one, the leader doesn't engage the same way. That's the leadership development side. Or they don't experience the same promotion, developmental opportunities, or lateral movement. So inside of that commitment around retention is the parity of experience for all of our employees. We've also said, this is where, again, we go the DNA of Best Buy. We have something that's called a Teen Tech Center. And teen tech centers are, I think they're just absolutely amazing. They give disadvantaged communities access to the latest technology. And it allows a teenager to use that technology in getting experiences that can help them to craft the future. And so we said that we're going to take today around 35 teen tech centers and expand those out to over 100 across the United States.
Wow.
I think, again, that investment in teenagers and also creating opportunities, not just to work at a teen tech center. We've also made bold commitments to say when you do work at a teen tech center, you'll have opportunities and access to scholarships, to employment opportunities and things like that. I think that's super, super powerful.
I'm curious how you and the leadership team, what accountability measures you're putting in place to hold yourself to that? And also, how are you empowering your frontline associates to hold the company and the leadership team accountable to those bold commitments, which I think are absolutely necessary?
I love that question, Adam, because again, you know, I'm at my core, I've got a business background. And so if you think about a business background applied to the science of building amazing cultures, well, the only way you can do that is with rigor, routines, and measurements. And not measurements against the I&D community of practice. That's not where it matters. Leaders are accountable for creating culture. My community of practice is designed more so around how do we provide the tools, the insights, and the education for leaders. Now, we start to look at our metrics by breaking it down in really three big ways. Think about the leading indicators. Well, what's the qualified applicant pool? If you're talking about hiring, what's the qualified applicant pool? What's the slate that you're presenting to a leader? And then you start to think about, well, now you got to have something in the middle. I call it the experiential part of a measurement. This is either a round table or observing an interview recap to understand, like, what are some of the things that could inhibit diverse candidates from being hired within Best Buy? And then we have lagging indicators. The lagging indicators are, you know, the actual how many people were hired. Again, all of that is designed so that we can get a line of sight to what's occurring. How do we learn on the spot? And then how do we also ask deeper questions of our teams? You know, Adam, I often hear the question is like, are you setting hiring quotas? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Remember, the goal of inclusion diversity is all about raising the experience for everyone, but then asking questions around something that's not right. And so if the qualified applicant pool in the United States is 30%, the question becomes, well, why aren't you hiring at 30% or one third? The question is not, are you devoting, you know, a third of all your hirings to one specific group? The question gets deeper into what would be stopping you from hiring equal access, fair opportunity, if the qualified applicant pool is at 30%.
That makes complete sense. I think as you're continuing to build those metrics and develop that talent, the team tech centers that you've mentioned are a key component to it. We at the foundation, our primary goal is helping young people figure out career paths and really truly understand the diversity of jobs in retail and the skills that are required to kind of succeed. So I'm curious how Best Buy is thinking of that career pathing, both from an entry level into the store, but then moving into corporate all the way up to those leadership ranks, given kind of each level requires a different strategy or different approach to really truly get that diverse talent throughout the DNA of Best Buy.
Yeah, I love the question, Adam. You know, you'll often hear us talk about at Best Buy that skills are the new currency. And so we're leaning in to say, how do we begin to create an apparatus to build out skills? It's about taking our leaders and having them deeply involved with the teens and those teen tech centers, and thereby creating a connection and experiences that sometimes are outside of the normal experience and career pathing of those young people. We think it creates an incredible difference. But then we're also building out the apparatus behind the scenes so that someone could go from a teen tech center to work in our Geek Squad, to ultimately coming into our digital technology, where we've also made a commitment to hire 1,000 new technologists. Again, 30% of those technologists will be diverse. We think there's some cool path lines that Best Buy can do. I think, again, I always say more uniquely than others, to change the lives and the outcomes across communities across the United States.
I want to go on forever. However, our producer says that I can't. She just came on to give me the high sign. I do have a lot more questions for you, Mark. And as a result, and I'm sure Adam does too, because I've given him just like two chances to ask a question. This has been incredibly interesting. And I think that it's a subject matter that is important to the National Retail Federation and extremely important to our members and to the industry at large. We are taking it incredibly seriously. And there's a lot of great things that our industry is doing to address it. And finally, you know, I think that to take the lead, not to talk about it, but to do something about it and do it with accountability and bold actions. Mark, I don't know if you've ever listened to an episode of Retail Gets Real before, but before we end, we have a segment of the program. and it is called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Now, do not panic. This is not anything that is meant to draw, to embarrass you or to really tax your brain. We're just going to ask a question and we're going to ask you to give us the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
You look ready. All right, Adam, start us off.
Mark, donuts or potato chips?
Oh my gosh, donuts.
Mark, what is the one thing that is always in your refrigerator?
Brussels sprouts.
Oh, gross. Okay, fine. Ugh.
Everyone that knows me is laughing right now. They go, he's telling the truth.
Is it next to the bacon? Because that's the only way you can eat them. Wrapped in bacon.
It's next to the mustard.
Oh, okay. Go, Adam.
Mark, what is like your favorite physical activity?
Kayaking.
Which could inform the following question, your vacation spot, your favorite vacation spot.
Punta Cana.
Nice.
Morning or night person?
Morning, 4 a.m. every day.
Now you've 4 a.m.
every day.
What time do you go to bed?
Oh, that's true though. That's the downside of this. 8 p.m. I'm out.
Definitely not a night person. That's for sure. Yeah, I've got a whole riff on that because we were just talking the other day about all of the streaming services now. So it doesn't matter when you go to bed, you can still watch your favorite shows.
Yeah, remember, Bill, I'm military.
Right. You very disciplined.
Can't stop that.
Yeah, I'm with you. So you've said that you've read, you've mentioned a couple of books, which good to great, fantastic. The book about the Industrial Revolution. What was the last book that you read?
The Adaptation Advantage.
Wow. And that's about?
You know, it's about change and transformation.
Cool. Adam, close us out.
Mark, do you have any pets or no pets?
I have two chihuahuas.
And my dad has
Mia and Charlie. Mia and Charlie.
That's
are
awesome.
They friendly chihuahuas or are they the little aggressive snappers? My dad had aggressive snappers.
So I have one that is more like my wife. So I'm not going to define it.
Somebody's going to get in trouble. This is going to be good.
And then I have one like me that is very thoughtful and kind.
Somebody really is
in
trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Well done. Mark, I know that was painless and appreciate you doing it. So if anybody wants to learn more about Best Buy, about the company, its culture, what y'all are doing in this space, where should they go on the internet?
I think there's a couple places you can go. If you go to the Best Buy main page, you'll get a sense of our leadership team. You'll get a sense of our values. And you can see in our forums, our blog forums, like all the things that we're trying to do in this space to make a difference.
That's awesome. Mark Irvin, the Best Buy Chief Inclusion, Diversity, and Talent Officer. Thank you so much for what has been an extremely interesting, thought-provoking, and just a great program. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. I appreciate it.
Adam Lukowski, awesome job. First time co-host. I hope that you'll do it again.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Mark. This was a lot of fun.
Adam was amazing.
He wants my job. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at retailgetsreal.com. And please send us your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. In this time of COVID, we close once again with just the request, please be safe and stay well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.